We are reading in the book, the study of the Ten Sefirot, Volume 1, Chapter 1, in the part Yistaklut Pnimit, Introspection, item page Aleph, page 1. You can ask questions at kab.tv, and select the questions will be raised during the course of the lesson. Study of the Ten Sefirot, item 22, Chaf Bet. The thought of creation compels every item in reality to stem from one another until the end of correction. Item Chafbet. Pay attention to the heading. The Machshevet Abriah, the thought of creation, compels every item in reality to stem from one another until the end of correction. This means that there's a process here which is decided from in advance, from the beginning to the end of creation. During this process, we can't stray from it, because as he says, the thought of creation compels every item in reality to stem from one another. Every detail, every single detail in reality, in existence, to stem from one another, in cause and consequence until the end of correction. You can't stray from this at all, except in one thing, which is to add your acceptance, your agreement to this, and your agreeing to this process. This process goes through by your agreement in such a way, from cause and effect. You learn from it, you're included in it, and you make out of it, you become a wise student from this. You learn from the Creator, who is called wise, and you become the student of the wise. And then you become like him, just like your student. Like your teacher, like the Creator. Yes, please. Again, chapter 5. The heading, the thought of creation compels every item in reality to stem from one another until the end of correction. Item Chafbet 22. Now that we have acquired all the above, we will understand a little bit about the meaning of his uniqueness. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and all the multiplicity of forms that we perceive in this reality is united in him, within a single thought being the thought of creation to delight his creatures. Machshevet Abriah, the thought of creation. This singular thought, this means that there's nothing more in the Creator than the thought of creation. How does he want the creatures to exist? From their beginning to their end, everything in the middle, the whole process, the first and the last form, everything is included in one thought. That in this thought there is no beginning and there is no end and there is no process, but there's one form that he wished to exist. This immediately became that with respect to the Creator, there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no process. That each of us somehow participates in this and in his own way or another. But everything is perfect, complete, and instant. However, with respect to us, that we have to be part of that process, that program, that we're included in it, in sensation, in agreement, that this is something that we realize. Then with respect to us, this process is a process. Something is developed. That initial form, that singular form with respect to us, it opens a long process such that this process doesn't exist anywhere except in our developing desire to receive something which perceives that form something that can't be perceived in one moment as a thought of creation, and it perceives it according to an inner process, its inner process, this desire. And then this desire develops in connection with its rishimot, its impressions, and so on. But all of this is only the perception of the final state. And it is singular, and it is the only one. So, if we are speaking about any sort of process, it is within our desire how we perceive the thought of creation, that we can't in one moment grab it all, because there is, besides the desire of the Creator, there is also there the creation in a form in which it is like the Creator. The Creator from the beginning, how as He wanted to see the creature. And so we have to perceive this final form of ourselves, but we're not able to do it, therefore we need to develop. This means that if there wasn't here our development in the thought of creation, first of all, there wouldn't be a thought of creation at all, but because we are in the upbringing of the Creator, we have to grow from zero until the height of the Creator Himself, the size of the Creator Himself. We have to develop. We have to connect to this picture. Therefore, the reception of the thought of creation in us it develops in a process of creation and correction. And throughout this, we see all these concealments and worlds, and everything is inside of our consciousness, and that's it. It's something that that's realized in our desire to receive. And we're already in the final state, we're just unable to reveal it immediately. We don't have the kelim for it. You need sensitivity, rishimot, a sense, the sense, the weakening of the screen, that there would be something between the kelim and the lights against the impacts of between each other. With that, we can perceive the form in which we exist. Okay? Okay, onward. That encompasses the entire reality with perfect unity through the end of correction, for this is really the entire purpose of creation and the operator. Like the force that operates in the operated, that which is but a thought in him is a compelling force in the creatures. Because he thought about delighting us, it is necessarily occurring in us that we received his good Shefa.
It is the operation. This means that what is a thought for him is a law for the creatures. And since he wanted to delight us, this necessarily becomes a law for us to receive, to be receivers of his abundance. And this is the action, the operation. This means that after this law of the will to receive pleasure has been imprinted in us, we define ourselves by the name operation. It is so because through this disparity of form, we stop being a creator and become a creature. Stop being the operator and become the operation. It is the labor and the work. This means that because of the force that operates in the operated, the desire to receive increases in us as the worlds hang down, until we become a separated goof in this world. We become opposite to the life of lives, who does not bestow outside himself whatsoever, and brings death to the bodies and every kind of torment and labor to the soul. This is the meaning of the work of the Creator in Torah and Mitzvot. Through the illumination of the Kav, in the restricted place, extend the holy names, the Torah and Mitzvot, by working in Torah and Mitzvot in order to bestow contentment to the Maker, our vessels of reception slowly turn to vessels of bestowal. This is the sought-after reward. This means that the more corrupted our vessels of reception are, the more impossible it becomes for us to open our mouth to receive His abundance. This is so due to the fear of the disparity of form, for one who eats that which is not one's own is afraid to look upon one's face. This was the reason for the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph. But when we correct our vessels of reception to be in order to bestow, we thus equalize our vessels with their Maker and become fit to receive His infinite abundance. You see, there are all these opposite forms in the creation before us, namely, the form of operated one and operator, and the form of the corruptions and corrections, and the form of the labor and its reward, are all included in His singular thought. In simple words, it is to delight His creatures. Precisely that, no more and no less. The entire multiplicity of concepts is also included in that thought, both the concepts of our Torah and those of secular teachings. All the creations, worlds, and various conducts in each and every one stem from this singular thought, as I will explain further in the appropriate place.
Questions. This means that the thought of creation is essentially everything. From the side of the Creator, there is no more, just a single thought. And this single thought, it's like a, just like an epiphany, a single point, and we are included there in all of our development and in complete adhesion with Him, only to attain this state, to feel it, we must undergo a series of impressions until we perceive it. So we go through a series of states until we feel that state in which we were created. But there is no more than a single thought in which everything is included. Sure, give it to Neve.
What's the difference between the thought of creation and the Creator Himself?
This is with respect to us, we say only. We don't know anything outside of what is shown inside of our desire. The light is something from something, Yeshmiyesh. The desire is something from nothing, Yeshmiyain. And everything is inside desire. So when we say, we're talking about perception or sensation inside of a desire, then we divide our perception into who feels, what is felt, and from what is it felt. These three things. Me, as a perceiver, the source of the perception, and what do I perceive from Him, from the source. And then I learn, as much as I am impressed by what I feel, it's given from His side, in connection between us. So, when I study what He wants, with respect to this, I begin to enter already and change between us the attitude. And how do I sense what's changing? From my sensation. How do I know what He's thinking, what He's feeling? Also from my sensation. Everything is coming out of what I'm feeling. There are no other discernments. Everything is only within a desire. Therefore, we say that this whole avaya is the development of the desire. Afterwards, this whole avaya is within a person. A person is the creator. The worlds are inside of our perception. The alama, the concealment, is inside of our perception. The ladder of degrees is inside our perception, is inside of a person. All the worlds are inside of a person. Everything is inside of us. What do we attain with the help of all of this effort that we want to perceive? Who am I? Who is he? What is he? What does he want from me? And how do I exist with him? What do we attain with all this? As a result of all of these efforts and this long path that we gather, all the opportunities that we have before us, we come to a single perception, a single sensation, which is called the thought of creation. To bring delight to his creatures. And that's it. There is included, who is this giver? Who are these creatures that receive this abundance? Everything together. This state is called, from our perspective, it is called a point or a drop of adhesion. That everything is concentrated in that point, just like everything is concentrated in the thought of creation. We, from our perspective, everything is concentrated in this point, and it's called the drop of adhesion. Tipata dvikut. And that's it.
Student from New York is asking, it is said that we cannot deviate from the path of creation. We can just agree to this path. Is this our free choice?
Of course we can deviate from the path. We can disagree with it, and otherwise, and in this case, we advance on the path of suffering. Or we agree, and we accelerate the time. We hasten our development toward becoming like the Creator, like a good child or a smart one that wants to learn from his father. He advances easier than a bad child, even though the bad one advances as well, but according to suffering. It's a difference, but it's a big difference than the opposite. There's a big difference between the two. The Creator, in either case, teaches us how to realize his desire in love, because if you don't realize it in love, you don't reveal the kilim, which are fit for the thought of creation. So you can't constantly advance in evil. Every time you reveal these blows, and from them, you come to the correct way of development. Yes.
Friends from Chulon are asking, why in the gap between the Creator and the creature, the shame appears in the creature and not in the Creator? The Creator is in charge of this horrible state.
Of course. So it's like, why, you should be ashamed. Why are we saying you should be ashamed? We should say it to the Creator. Look. In the state where we are in concealment, we can say whatever we want. There's no problem. A baby, for example. What the baby does, it does.
The mother shall come and wipe.
The mother will come and clean it. In either case, all the deficiency are in the observer. How can you say the Creator... How could you tell the Creator to be ashamed if everything is done in love? So, we're asking him, why were we created? And the question is, why do we have to undergo an evil process if through it we come to good? We have to go through these uncomfortable states, and we only feel them according to those times when we can't or don't want to decide to go to the side of good. If you want to decide right now to feel good, go ahead, please. No, there's no commandment to wait for the world of Ein Sof, 125 steps, go ahead. But on every state, on every, the smallest degree, you should feel Ein Sof. You should feel, it means that there's no border. It means you're ready to adhere to that same intention, to that same process. A little more, please.
Item 23, Chaf Gimel. Below the title, Malchut of Ein Sof means that Malchut does not put up any Sof end or ending there. We may now see the meaning of the Tikkunim in the Zohar regarding Malchut of Ein Sof, for which the doors trembled from the cries of the doubtful. They asked, can we recognize a Malchut in Ein Sof? That would mean that there are the upper nine sefirot there too. From our words, it becomes very clear that the will to receive that is contained in the light of Ein Sof by necessity is called Malchut of Ein Sof. However, Malchut did not place a boundary or an end on that light of Ein Sof because the disparity of form due to the will to receive had not become apparent in her yet. That is why it is called Ein Sof, because Malchut does not put up a stop there, an ending there, but only from the Tzimtzum, the restriction, and downwards. Only then does the force of Malchut put a Sof in every Sfira of the and Portzuf.
Well, questions. I'm not sure what to add here. So we have Malchut Ein Sof, which means that Malchut did not put any Sof there, any end. Sof is a restriction, is an end to the reception of abundance, and it means that from that the creature gives contentment to its maker in receiving abundance. But there's an understanding here. It understands what it receives. It understands who it receives from. And in this way, we have equivalence of form. So Malchut Ein Sof, it's either completely on the side of the thought of creation, on the side of the creator, in which case, of course, the end of the action is in the initial thought. Or there, it comes later, in the consciousness of the creature afterwards, when it does this whole trip all the way around and comes back up to Malchut Ein Sof, when from there Ein Sof for him is boundless and can be arrived at with the help of the Masach, the screen, and Kavanah, intention, as much as it's able to bestow to its host without bounds, that all of its desire is given to the host. Yes, go ahead, quickly.
What you just said, which is other than what the state that is described here, because here it says that she doesn't make an end, which is a restriction.
There's Malchut Ein Sof, which is from above below. As Rabbi Elazar writes, that we have to, that it's from the point of view of the light, and as he writes, we have to attain it from below upwards, from the point of view of the Kli.
What I wanted to ask is that it writes here that Malchut doesn't create a stop or an ending, and it's in terms of her nullification before the light, right?
There it's canceled from above. So eventually we stand on the same infinite level when we come to it.
Yaniv from the center in Hadera is asking, my son, 4 years old, asked me, who created the Creator?
Who created it? We don't have this question. That means the question exists. So created is, it means creation. Creation is outside of Him. Right? Let's say we are creations. What does it mean that we're created? It means that we're outside of the Creator. Created from Him, and therefore called a Nivra, a creation. But there's no question of who created Elohim, God. Elohim is Binah. You can say it's outside of Chokhmah. So Binah is created with the help of Chokhmah. So maybe that's what he means. Because when we're talking about a degree being created, we're talking about Malchut, a desire to receive, which is outside of a desire to bestow. Elohim is a desire to bestow. It is the force in itself of the Creator. So there's the concept here. There are concepts here. And we clothe into the concepts. The problem is that the question isn't relevant. He's asking in a form that it sounds like a question, but when he ascends a little bit higher up to ask this question in a more precise manner, then there's no such concept, because I'm asking it from within my attainment. Elohim, for me, is called the attainment of Binah. It was first the ruler of the universe. Is there something before the quality of Binah, bestowal? Then I will tell you one thing, that this concept of before, there isn't. There is no like before and then continuing. Everything is above time. There's no such thing as time. There's no space or movement. So we don't have anything to ask, because of all our entire question, it has to be according to these three quantities, these three discernments. Time, space, and motion. If there's no change here, then there's nothing to ask about. So the question exists, but it doesn't exist. So we'll talk about it. Our perception is entirely within time, space, and motion. And if we don't have these concepts, then we're not able to ask, because it evaporates from us. The question itself is irrelevant. You can't ask, because you're asking about reality, which doesn't have there a higher or lower degree. Yes, Ellie.
So what do you say to a kid who's 4 year old? You can't tell him an answer like that.
You can tell him that God has a dad, or that that Binah has Chokhmah. And let's move on to the next part, but before that, let's sing a song together.
Oh,